Brethren, would you please turn again today to the letter to the Ephesian church. We call it the Book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 5, Ephesians 5. We'll read verses 15 through 21, the same scripture verses we read last Sunday. I said at the end of the service that we would begin here again this week, and God willing, we'll read these verses, and I'll be able to, with the help of God, expound upon them some and complete the thoughts that I have on my mind. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. You know that the title of the sermon last week was "Be filled with the Spirit." It's a command. It's an exhortation from Paul to the church at Ephesus. All scripture being given by inspiration of God is profitable to God's children. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in the right way. Be filled with the Spirit. Beginning verse 15, we'll read again. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. God bless the reading of His Word, and God bless me to preach His Word today. I pray that I'll have His blessing, and that I'll be able to preach and hear the Word of God. You'll be able to hear and understand by the blessing and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask God to let that happen, brethren, to allow that and bless us. Father in heaven, thank you for the blessed privilege of being in your house once again, in being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ in the earth. Thank you for your word, Lord, that you preserved to our reading and study to this very moment. Thank you that we all have a Bible we can read, the word of God, God speaking to his people. Thank you for that. Oh Lord God, thank you for giving us spiritual ears to hear and understand your word. We ask now, Lord, as we look at this portion of Scripture today, Father, that you would make it understandable to us. Father, make me understand it. Enlighten me, please, that I might preach your word, that I might honor and glorify you, and the church of Jesus Christ might be instructed, taught, edified, built up, established in the word of God, that, as has already been prayed a couple of times today, that we might use this in our lives, that we might walk circumspectly, that we might understand what the will of the Lord is, therefore reaping the benefit of the blessings of God, a loving and merciful God, and giving honor and glory to you by the way that we live. We ask for that, Lord God. Help us now. Help, please. Bless your people as they're gathered together in this hour. Bless the ministers of God to preach the word of God and the people to hear. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. The name above every name. Amen.
I don't very often continue on a study more than once, at least on Sunday morning. We're just working our way on Sunday nights through the book of Hebrews, but typically it's a fairly short text and one lesson, and then we go into something different the next Sunday. But I couldn't finish the last Sunday, and I want to try to finish today. The title of the lesson is from chapter 5, verse 18, "Be filled with the Spirit." It's a command. It's an admonition. It's a command to us. And if God, brethren, commands us to be in a certain condition, And I take it then, brethren, that we have a hand in that. Of course, we're only able to do what God strengthens us and allows us to do. But in this, brethren, God would have us to be filled with His Spirit. And I take it, brethren, that since He commands us to do that, that we have a hand in that. We have a part in that. We have some control, brethren, over whether or not we're filled with the Spirit. Now, in my mind, as I understand it doctrinally, there's at least one prerequisite to being filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to give you some more. But there's one basic one. If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, then the Spirit has to be in me. And I can't generate that. I can't decide that's going to happen. That's a sovereign act of a sovereign God. He comes to me in the new birth. The Spirit of God takes up residence in me. In the Corinthian letter, in 1 Corinthians, the Word of God says, "Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. The same writer, the Apostle Paul, says that we know from that, brethren, that at the new birth, that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our bodies. And that, brethren, is a prerequisite to being filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to have some portion of the Spirit in you to begin with. But I've observed this, brethren, just from reading the Word of God and observing myself, my own life, and the lives of others. The Holy Spirit is more evident in some children of God than in others. Would you agree with me that that's the case? Has it been true that you read about saints in the Bible, and some children of God are just seem to be filled with the Spirit of God almost all the time? Others act like they're filled with a different spirit. The Holy Spirit, in my experience, is more evident in some children of God than in others. Another thing I think I've observed is the Holy Spirit is more evident at some times than in the lives of God's children than in others. I know that for a fact to be true in my life. Sometimes I am very, very full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, carried along by the Spirit of God. Other times, I just can't feel the Spirit of God. And that, frankly, brethren, has a lot to do with me and what I'm up to, my own personal life. Last Sunday, we were studying how to be filled with the Spirit of God, and I thought it was maybe a good idea. I hope it was from the Lord that we look at certain people that the Word of God says very clearly, this person, fill in the blank, whatever the name, was filled with the Spirit, and then the word "and." And it tells us something that took place in that person's life, something they were able to do, something big, in some cases miraculous, some things that they were able to do because they were filled with the Spirit of God. We looked at four people. Actually, Simon Peter and others, a group that he was in. But we looked at a woman by the name of Elizabeth. Do you remember that? Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Then we looked at a man named Zacharias, who was the husband of Elizabeth. We looked at Simon Peter and the other apostles and possibly others in that group on the day of Pentecost. And we looked at the Apostle Paul. And in each one, the Scriptures said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And today, I want us to look at what was it about them that possibly contributed to the fact that they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to be in Luke and Acts. We're going to go from Ephesians, go to Luke and Acts. Would you go to Luke chapter 1 with me? And let's just review for a moment this woman, Elizabeth, and the man Zacharias, husband and wife. Luke 1, 41 through 45 says, these are the words of Elizabeth. "Lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Above that it says, "When Mary heard the salutation," when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, "the babe leaped in her womb." This is verse 41, Luke chapter 1. "And Elizabeth," here it is, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and what happened, brethren? She spake out with a loud voice. She began to give God praise and glory. She began to tell her cousin what happened to her, that baby leaped in her womb. And she began to bless Mary and say, "You're blessed because you believe what the angel has told you." That brethren, that woman was filled with the Holy Spirit, and good things happened. Now, over on, in my Bible, at least on the next page, we read about her husband, Zacharias. Luke chapter 1, verse 67, he begins to prophesy. His father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost. Whose father? The father of that baby that had just been born. Who was the baby? John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist. Shortly after the birth of that child, Zacharias, who hadn't spoken for at least 9 months while his wife was carrying the baby, he had been caused to be dumb, as the Bible, King James uses it, means he's mute, he can't talk. But when that baby, after that baby's born, brethren, God looses his tongue. Verse 67, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he begins to prophesy. And I won't read the prophecy, but that continues on to the end of chapter 1. He begins to do great things and speak great things. What we came after, brethren, is this. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, what was it, brethren, about these people that caused them or resulted in their being filled with the Holy Spirit? Would you look in chapter 1, back at verses 5 and 6, the very beginning of Luke, and let's read about them. Glean this, brethren. This is what the Word of God says about Elizabeth and Zacharias. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Now, let me say to you, brethren, that you can read in the Bible about priests, and not all of them are holy or righteous. Just because he's a priest doesn't mean he's a good guy, because some weren't. But this priest, brethren, he had a wife, it says. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So we got a man and wife here, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now here's what I want you to note, brethren, verse 6. This is what God's Word tells us about them. They were both righteous before God. That's a description, brethren, of their life, of their conversation, of their walk, their manner of living before what we read about just now, about they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, it doesn't say sinless, does it? Because they sinned. They were people. All we know have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But these two, this couple, brethren, this man and this woman, had a lifestyle of obeying the commandments of God. That was their manner of living. They were following the Word of God. And I believe that God is sovereign, and He can do anything He wants, as we talked about this morning in Bible study. But I believe it was in the good pleasure of God to look down on this couple here, who were righteous before Him and walking in His commandments and ordinances. And I believe that God, brethren, made the decision to say, "You are going to be the parents of John the Baptist. You are both elderly. You've been praying for a child, and I'm going to grant it." Now, God, in His sovereignty, can do that. He could have picked another couple. He could have said, "No, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to." Not to necessarily punish you, but it's just not within my sovereign will. But I believe, brethren, that it was God's blessing on these people. Part of it was, He said, "I'm going to bless you because you're walking before Me in the right way. What you're doing is what I've commanded here." I think that's so. I think that. That covers Elizabeth and Zacharias. Now, what about Simon Peter? You know about Simon Peter's life. You know what his life was like as he followed Jesus. And sometimes he did and sometimes he didn't. He's very headstrong and bold. He messed up a number of times. But I want you to go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts and let's read about Simon Peter. Jesus now, in this portion of the book of Acts, Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. He's dead. He's been buried. He's risen again. And now he's ascended back to heaven. He went out to the mount outside Jerusalem and he was taken up before the apostles and is now returned to heaven. And now Simon Peter, brethren, this man Simon Peter, we read in the book of Acts that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 of chapter 2 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and..." There it is. Chapter 2, verse 4 of Acts. I said to you last week, be alert for something like that where it says somebody was filled with the Holy Ghost, because it's going to say and because something is about to happen. And what happened, what was Simon Peter and others able to do on this day of Pentecost? He began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Simon Peter, the apostles, and possibly others of among the believers on this day of Pentecost. And Simon Peter preached that wonderful sermon that's recorded in chapter 2 of Acts, part of which he says, "Ye men of Israel," this is verse 22, "hear these words." And he goes on to preach about Jesus and him crucified. And he says, "You've crucified him." But in verse 24, "God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." And it says in verse 37, "Now when they heard these words," heard this, "they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And he goes on to preach with many other words. That's the filling of the Holy Spirit, brethren. It says it specifically, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, what was the prerequisite for this? What happened just before this? Of course, the Spirit of God had come and begun to indwell in them. That, to me, is the first prerequisite. But something else, brethren, something else about their lives. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." These. Who is it, the "these" here? The verse above names the apostles. It names, and it said there were others. There were women, and there were others. I think there were about 120 of them. "They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." They were praying. In a nutshell, they were people of prayer. They prayed. The Word of God says, "Pray without ceasing." They prayed. Elizabeth and Zacharias walked in the commandments of the Lord blameless. They were righteous before God. They were praying, I'm sure. They were reading the Word of God. They were following the commandments of God. Simon Peter and his associates were people of prayer. They were praying. Continuing on in chapter 2, go to chapter 2, verse 1. "Peter and the other apostles and those that were gathered with them were of one accord." And verse 2 of chapter 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they," that's Simon Peter, the other apostles, the other believers, "were all with one accord in one place." One accord in one place. One accord is the main thing. We're all right now in one place, aren't we? We're all in one place. Brethren, God's pleased when we're in one accord, when we're believing the same thing, when we're worshiping God together, when we're thinking alike, when we understand the Scriptures together, when we're worshiping, we're of one mind. They were one accord in one place. Chapter 2, verse 1 of Acts. "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them." Verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and..."
began to speak with other tongues. Our lesson today, our verse today is this: Be ye filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I believe that these things we're looking at are some of the prerequisites for us being filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe we have a work in it. I believe that, brethren, if we are walking righteously before God, I believe that if we're following His commandments, I believe if we're trying to discern the will of God and walk in it, I believe that if we're people of prayer, that God will bless us, will fill us with His Spirit. He'll direct us by His Spirit. He'll enable us to do things that otherwise we could not. May or may not be miraculous, but it'll certainly be very, very good, the things that God enables us to do. The next man we looked at last week was the Apostle Paul. Go to Acts chapter 9. The Apostle Paul. Would you agree with me that the life, at least the life of the Apostle Paul, after he met Christ on the road to Damascus, that his life was one that you could say he was filled with the Spirit of God? We studied the book of Acts for several months recently, and I love that book, and it's packed with things that Simon Peter and the Apostle Paul, mainly others, but mainly those two men, were able to do because they were filled with the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 9 records the conversion of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. A man comes to him after he meets Jesus. Paul is struck down blind, and he's sitting in a house, and God sends a man named Ananias to him, and he comes in and puts his hands on Saul, he's known as Saul then, and says to him, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus," this is verse 17 of Acts 9, "Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be," there it is, "filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, you can't say, brethren, that the Apostle Paul was obeying God before he was struck down on the road to Damascus. In fact, he was disobedient. He was persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. So here's an example, brethren, I think of where God just says, "In my sovereignty, I'm going to make this man's going to be a vessel unto me. He's a destroyer now, but he's going to be a preacher of mine." So I think sometimes, brethren, that even though we're not serving God, He blesses us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Paul became a blessing to the church of Jesus Christ. He was known as the apostle to the Gentiles after this. Let's read what God did for him, brethren. In chapter 9 of Acts, it says that Ananias says, "I'm here that you may be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now look at the contraction "and" here. "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales." He was blind before. Now the scales, the covering falls off, and he has his natural sight. "And he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus." Here it is. "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." Now, brethren, there's a miraculous thing right there. A man who had warrants for the arrest of Christians on his person, traveling to Damascus to seek out believers on Christ Jesus, the Messiah, so that he could arrest them and bring them tie them up, bring them back to Jerusalem for trial and possibly death, certainly prison, if not death. A man that was on his way to carry out those instructions, he begins preaching the Christ that he's persecuting in the synagogues where the Jews gather, brethren, that he is the Son of God. Now that, brethren, is the change that comes over a person when they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You see a change in them. Paul the Apostle
He said, go down to 1 Timothy. His life was one of great service to God. 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 6. At the end of his life, Paul the Apostle would say this: I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's a description, brethren, of the Apostle Paul, of his the condition of his spirit at the end of his life. He'd been faithful to God. He'd been filled with the Spirit all his days. He was the one who said to the young Timothy about preaching. He said, "Be instant, in season, out of season." Timothy, preach when you feel like it. Preach when you don't feel like it. Preach the Word of God. And so that tells me that Paul knew that sometimes he maybe didn't feel like preaching, but he did it. He did things, brethren, that caused him to be filled with the Spirit of God. Not initially. God came to him and filled him. But he kept his tank full, brethren. Paul kept his spiritual tank filled up. He was filled with the Spirit of God throughout his ministry. Now, brethren, go back to Ephesians, please, where we began, Ephesians chapter 5. Go back there, and I want to give you some, in addition to what I've said to you earlier about what we can glean from the lives of these people who we know were filled with the Spirit of God, because the Word specifically says that. Now let's go back, brethren, to our text where the Apostle Paul says to us, be filled with the Spirit. And we're going to look at the verses that follow in closing. We're going to look at them because I believe in these verses, brethren, the Apostle Paul tells us how to keep our spiritual tank filled up, how to be filled with the Spirit of God. He says this: be filled with the Spirit. And the Word of God here in my Bible has a semicolon. And the next verse says this. It gives us a list of things, brethren, that you and I need to be doing in order to be filled with the Spirit of God. Here's the first one: speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking to yourselves. First of all, I want to say to you, brethren, the man David, when he was on the run from Saul, he lived in a town called Ziklag. And he left there once with his men, his army. He had a kind of a ragtag army. He had some mighty men with him. And they went away and they were fighting and they came back to Ziklag. And they saw smoke. And the town had been burned. I believe it had been burned. But his wives, the wives of these men, David's wives included, their families had been taken captive. And David was obviously distraught over that. Also, his men talked about stoning him. It was about to be a mutiny there. But the Word of God tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord. I thought of that, brethren, when I read this, speaking to yourselves. You know, sometimes, brethren, I have to speak to myself. Me. I think this probably means, in the context, to one another, talking about us speaking to ourselves, singing together and singing to one another. But brethren, I read it and I thought, sometimes I have to speak to myself. I have to encourage myself in the Lord. When I read the Psalms sometimes, when I'm down and depressed or worried or fretful, I have to speak to myself. I have to refill my spiritual tank. You ever get down? You ever get despondent? You ever get wondering about it? Is it all worth it? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? Here's a way, brethren, to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I can't remember right now, but when we were singing our hymns this morning, I thought of this. I was going to try to remember the words to that hymn, but they've left me. But brethren, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do that individually, brethren. Do that. Speak to yourself. And you'll find that God, by the Holy Spirit, will fill you and speak to you. Also, we speak to one another when we come in the sanctuary and Brother Andy calls out a number. Sister Jane begins to play a hymn, and we begin to read the words and sing them out to ourselves and to one another. That, brethren, is a way to be filled with the Spirit. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not only, brethren, singing and speaking to one another, but making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praising God. Singing a hymn of the hymns of Zion to God and giving thanks. I've told you about the billboard I saw many, many years ago in a town. I looked up and it said, all it said that I can remember was praise the Lord anyhow. That's all it said, is that I can remember. Praise the Lord anyhow. And I think the message is this, brethren, that is praise God no matter what. No matter what. Praise God. And part of that is in the next verse. Here's another thing, brethren, to fill your spiritual tank, giving thanks always for all things. We're told in everything, give thanks. What I think that means, brethren, is I don't thank God for the coronavirus. I don't thank Him for it. Although this morning we spent several minutes in Bible study thanking God and saying what a benefit it's been in some ways. Now, obviously, it's been a detriment in many ways, but it's been good. We listed the good things that have come out of this. And we know, you know, brethren, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God. So there's some good in that. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the last thing, brethren, that I give you that Paul lists to help keep your spiritual tank full. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you remember that we read that prerequisite in the book of Acts that Simon Peter and the other apostles and the women and the other of that 120, they were in one accord, in one place. One accord. You get 120 people together in one place, you think today we'd be of one accord? It can be done. We have less than 120, but brethren, I strive and I want us to be of one accord. Right in the center of God's will. Right according to the Word of God. Brethren, if we'll do these things, I believe that God will bless us to be filled with the Spirit. There's one more thing I forgot to mention, and here's this same writer says this. He says, quench not the Spirit. You know, I have found, sadly, brethren, I have found that when I quench the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God is telling me to do a certain thing or telling me not to do a certain thing, and I do the opposite, when I quench the Spirit, I have found, brethren, that I'm far from being filled with the Spirit of God. God said, I think He said this in the days of Noah. He said, my Spirit is not always going to contend with man. God said, I've had enough. And He destroyed the earth, all living individuals and many animals, with a flood. But 8 souls were saved by that flood. Noah, his 3 sons, Noah's wife, and the wives of his 3 sons. That adds up to 8 people. But God said, before destroying the world, He said, I'm not going to strive anymore. And I think, brethren, on occasion, God will say about me, I'm not going to strive with you anymore for a while. Mercifully, He doesn't cut me off. But when I quench that spirit, brethren, the Word of God describes the people before the flood, as the imagination of their hearts was only evil continually. When I continually quench the Spirit of God, brethren, I think the Spirit doesn't strive with me for a while. He says, I'm not going to strive with you. You're not going to be full. You're not going to get the blessings that I have otherwise for you. So, brethren, a way to be filled with the Spirit is don't quench it. Do what the Spirit of God says. When the Spirit of God comes to you and clearly speaks to you, try the spirits, make sure they're of God. But when you know it's God speaking to you, brethren, do it and you'll be blessed. Oh, Father in heaven, help us to be filled with the Spirit of God. Help us to be led of the Spirit. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God in our lives. May we be obedient to it. May we always, as the Apostle urges us, discern what the will of the Lord is. May we learn that from your written word. May it be apparent to us from the facts as they appear. Oh God, may we do the things that result in being filled with the Spirit. If we know our hearts, oh Lord God, we know that we want your blessing. We want your filling. We want to be obedient. We want to reap the benefits of being obedient, as Zacharias and Elizabeth did, as Simon Peter did, as the Apostle Paul did. We want that, Lord. Grant, Lord, give us grace to do that. May I, Lord, have said what's right according to your word. May I and everyone here, if so, hear the word of God and be obedient. In that name above names, we beg it. The one who was obedient to your will for him, resulting in our salvation. Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.